Straight up evil.
Leave the dog alone because the dog didn't do a damn thing, and now you're trying to feed him your bodily
Thou
fluid.
Thou shalt kill all of your
fans. And a dog fish a tampon out of the garbage. It ain't right.
The Bible pages,
but you can pretend like you were a dog.
Wow.
Really, dude? Someone's calling you. I don't want to.
Unsolved.
I don't like it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Straight Up Evil. My name is Jocelyn. I'm the brunette. We've got Katie. She's the redhead.
Hello.
And we have Carly. She's the blonde.
Hi.
Quinnies. Tonight, we are talking about the unsolved quadruple homicide in Moscow, Idaho. It happened just last month. We don't do a whole lot of unsolved cases, Quinnies.
No.
This is not a recent one.
But this one can't go without being talked about. Oh, my God.
No. I mean, our missing cases and our doe cases are obviously unsolved. But, like, these are confirmed homicides. Four of them at the same time that we just don't. These crimes, anything. Thankfully, don't come around all that often. But we've had a lot of people reach out, Instagram DMs and whatnot, saying, could you cover Idaho? Could you do a comprehensive, even a summary of Idaho? Because it's just everywhere right now. Everyone wants to know what's going on. So we are going to get into this case a little bit. Like we said, it just happened last month. First, I just want to go through the names of the victims before we go into the story at all. So we have four victims in this same homicide event. And the victims are, there's one male, Ethan Chapin, 20 years old. He was a freshman at University of Idaho from Conway, Washington. And he is one of three triplets. Then we have Zanna Kernodal. She's 20 years old. She was a junior at University of Idaho. She recently moved to Idaho from Arizona. I think she might have grown up in Arizona, moved to Idaho, and then went to college in Idaho, if I understand that correctly. Then we have Madison Mogan. She was 21 years old. She was a senior marketing major from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And then her best friend, Kaylee Gonsalves, 21 years old. She was a senior who actually would have graduated from college this month. And
so
she was from Rathdrum, Idaho. All four of these victims were inside a rented house on King Road in Moscow, Idaho, in the early morning hours of November 13th, 2022. So we're going to talk about the 12th and the 13th. Just important to understand right up front, everybody went out on the night of the 12th and the night concluded technically on the morning of the 13th. So we're going to be using those kind of interchangeably. All four of these victims were found deceased in the home after noon, after 12 p.m. on the 13th, and police have consistently maintained that their bodies were discovered by law enforcement themselves. So we're going to get into that. There are many contradictions to this case. So we're going to try to give you the best rundown of what investigators have provided, and then we'll point out inconsistencies along the way. Big note here, speculation in this case is off the chain. Okay.
Yep. Conspiracies already.
Oh my gosh. Everyone. It seems like everybody's got a hot take. If you obviously, because it's so upsetting and everybody wants answers. If you love to use Reddit like I do, you probably have lost your faith in humanity at this point more than once, following Idaho murders or Moscow murders subreddits, reading just the ridiculous and really hurtful things that the public is currently saying about the victims, their families, people who could have done this. And then that's getting taken as fact. And people are doing things on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. There's a lawsuit on TikTok right now, which is really interesting.
I know. And I wrote this in my final notes too, that like, it's really messed up and kind of disturbing that all of this stuff is taking place over social media and shit when four young people's lives have been lost.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's frustrating to me. Like, and obviously we'll get into a little bit into the lawsuit or whatever. I have a little bit of information about it, but yeah, exactly. Like, it's like you guys are suing each other over defamation, and four people don't have their lives, and four families have lost a member of their family, you know?
And the killer is out there somewhere still.
Right.
Yes. So I base this outline on solely on the information that is provided by the Moscow Police Department in their press releases. If there's a detail that we add in that's speculation, we'll let you know this is speculation. You see people all the time being like, well, I heard that, and it's not real. It's not a fact.
They heard it in their own brain.
They heard it on TikTok. Like, okay, cool. This is what we know. On the evening of November 12th, Kaylee Gonsalves and Madison Mogan were at a local bar called the Corner Club at 202 North Main Street in downtown Moscow between 10 p.m. and 1:30 a.m. on November 13th. Approximately 1:40 a.m., Kaylee and Madison are spotted on a video at a local food vendor called the Grub Truck at 318 South Main Street, and they used a, quote, private party for a ride home from downtown, and they arrive at their 1122 King Road residence at around 1:56 a.m. Initially, the police said they arrived at 1:45, but there was surveillance camera or Ring camera, some sort of home camera from that street, saw that them confirmed. Come in, clocked them at 1:56. They're there. So hers is upset by this story. And Kaylee's father, Steve, who we're going to talk a lot about, he confirmed that Kaylee and Madison have been best friends since the sixth grade. He also said that they were killed in the same bed. The police will not confirm that statement as of this time. He also said that Kaylee's injuries were worse than anyone else's.
Significantly worse, yeah.
Police will not confirm that either.
Or deny it.
Right. Not confirmed. Correct. Or denied. Kaylee's sister, Olivia, confirmed that between 2:26 a.m. and 2:52 a.m., Kaylee made several calls to her ex-boyfriend. His name is Jack. We know his last name. We're not adding it in here. It's online if you want to look it up, but we're not playing that game. And it's her ex-name Jack.
Ex-name Jack. And it was like seven calls.
Yeah, multiple calls in this like basically half hour window, a little less than a half hour window. Jack did not pick up because he has stated he was sleeping. Now, he and Kaylee had amicably broken up, according to Kaylee's sister, Olivia, and Kaylee's family has come out publicly and stated repeatedly that they do not believe Jack had anything to do with this crime. Her sister feels like this is totally normal behavior for Kaylee. She would often get drunk and call people at night. Repeatedly. Oh
my
God.
I had a time in my 20s when I did that.
Yes.
I'm not going to fucking lie, dude.
Of course.
I totally used to drunk call exes.
It's so college. Like,
it is. Totally is. And like, oh, you're drunk and like they're not answering. I'm calling this motherfucker again.
Call him again. You know,
they're going to answer.
Especially if you give any weight to the fact that Kaylee's dad says that they were in the same bed. You just went out and got food. You brought it home. You ate it. And then you both, like, you're sitting there drunkenly like texting and calling boys. Like, it's just. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's classic. Like,
yes. Texting them, call me back. Answer the phone. I'm calling.
Right.
You.
I'm just going to call you again.
I'm just going to call.
Let me just keep calling.
What are you doing?
But none of this phone activity has been confirmed by law enforcement.
Nope.
This is just her family who is saying this. So that's where Kaylee and Madison seem to be at. Now, investigators have determined that Ethan Chapin and Zana Kernodle, who were dating, were seen at the Sigma Chi house on the University of Idaho campus. This is at 735 Nez Perce Drive. They were seen there. Okay. This is how the police word it. And then at approximately 1:45 a.m., Zana and Ethan are believed to have returned to the residence at 1122 King Road. It was initially reported that Ethan lived there. However, it has been determined that he was only visiting. So that means the three confirmed roommates that we know of at this time, all women. Ethan is sleeping over. We have the New York Times reporting that Zana and Ethan have been dating since last spring. The police are actively looking for anyone who can tell them what went on between 9 p.m. and 11:45 a.m. at the Sigma Chi house that night. They have completely refused to detail Ethan and Xana's whereabouts during that time, other than that they were seen at the house. As recently as yesterday, they put out a press release that said, if you have video from that night, I don't care what you were doing in it. Yeah. I don't care if there's illegal activity going on.
Show us.
Show us the video from that night.
I'm also noticing that what they're doing too is that like every person that we're going to be bringing up basically that is even like could remotely possibly be a suspect or anything. From what we know, they've all been cleared. They're all cleared.
Right.
The people that we're going to mention. Police will actually say that, even if it's not necessarily the whole truth, because they don't, because it's such a frenzy swarm extravaganza all over social media, they don't want to say right now, this early, for example, Jack is a suspect. They're not going to say that right now because they don't want to release anything that's going to make anybody take shit
action
farther than it already has gone.
Yep, I totally agree.
But is it still the fact where they're not saying that the people are actually cleared, quote unquote?
Like right, they're not saying that they're not suspects.
They're saying we don't believe that they are involved.
Right.
But they're not saying so-and-so
exactly
is
not right.
Right.
They're being very selective about every single word that they say.
They are. They totally are.
There's speculation online that Ethan was actually pledging Sigma Chi, unconfirmed by law enforcement. Okay. But that's a big piece of this. A lot of people, you know, that seems to be the case. Cops have not said that that's the case. It's also been said that both Kaylee and Madison were both in sororities. Also, Xana was in a sorority. Again, the police are not touching the Greek life piece of this at all. And you can, I mean, the victims' social media accounts are still active. You can still see several of them. Definitely Kaylee's, definitely Maddie's. And there's Greek life referenced. And there, I mean, there's clearly they had some involvement. But again, the police are not commenting on that at all. So detectives,
I thought, though, if you're in a sorority, you have to like live in a sorority. Isn't that, is that not usually...
Oh, I thought you could just like live near the sorority. Like you didn't have to be in the actual house, but you could live like, I thought you could be in it.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, like Legally Blonde, it's like they're all living in the house.
Right.
Oh, you know? I love it. So
yeah. That's our sorority.
I mean, I know they could have more than one house
for
the same sorority, but like their rented apartment was not.
No.
Affiliated with many.
No, it wasn't.
No, and I'm wondering if you can, as an upperclassman, live wherever you would like.
And they did have a lot of people in that house. There was a shit ton of traffic through that house. They did have friends over. They did have parties. Like, I don't want us to turn this into, they were just a party house and blah, blah, blah.
They were in college. No. Okay.
Yeah. Regular college.
We all know what that is.
What that is.
Yeah.
Right.
Detectives believe that on November 12th, the two surviving roommates. Wait a minute. What?
Gwyneth? Yeah. This is something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is something.
This is insane.
So there are two. If you Google Idaho murders and you do an image search, there is a picture of six people and two of their faces are blurred out. This picture features all four victims that we've detailed already and two other people. And it is rumored that the two other people in the photo are the two surviving roommates, two females. They're supposedly young, 19, both 19. That's what we've heard. Again, this is not confirmed by law enforcement. They just refer to them as the two surviving roommates.
And one of the surviving roommates is the one that made the 911 call.
Well, we don't know that.
Oh, it's not.
We don't know shit. We don't know anything.
No.
Yeah. But it is a girl that makes a 911 call, isn't it?
We don't know that.
We're assuming because that's who we don't know. We don't know.
The two surviving roommates on the night of November 12th were also out in the Moscow community. They were out separately, but they both return home by 1 a.m. on November 13th. So now we have two roommates getting home at 1 o'clock in the morning. Then we have Xana and Ethan returning approximately 1:45. Then we have Kaylee and Madison getting there maybe 10 minutes later. So by 2 a.m., everybody's home. The whole house. Everyone is there.
It's so weird. Why do I have that? Why do I have that the 911 call? Is that the roommate said they were unconscious or something?
So, okay.
It's all just speculation?
No. That's part of it, but it's not so hard to explain, Quinny. This is just what the cops say. That morning, November 13th, the surviving roommates, okay, roommates plural, summoned friends to the residence because they believed one of the people on the second floor had passed out and was not waking up. Then at 11:58 a.m., a 911 call requested aid for an unconscious person.
Wow.
That call was made from one of the surviving roommate's cell phones inside the residence. Multiple people talked to 911 before the Moscow police arrived at the location. Officers entered the residence and found two victims on the second floor and the two victims on the third floor, discovering them for the first time. This is all sorts of confusing.
Okay? Yeah, it is. It is.
So
it is. I don't like it.
None
of it adds up.
No. And they have some reason to believe that someone on the second floor is passed out and not waking up.
Yeah, that doesn't even make any sense to me. That makes no sense to me, though. But how do you get, if this person is stabbed or injured in whatever way, how do you get that they are unconscious from this?
No. So
the person they're referencing is not supposed to be one of the victims, or?
So that 911 call that's made is not necessarily about a dead body.
Okay.
That 911 call that's made, but we don't know if that 911 call is for one of the victims or it's for somebody else inside of the house who is reacting to whatever they're seeing inside of the house.
But it's just, it's like Quinny said, though, it's not adding up, though.
No, it doesn't.
It's not adding up.
It doesn't.
It's not fucking adding up.
So, Ken, at this point, we even really confirm that one or both of the surviving roommates found any of the other roommates.
No.
Deceased. Right. We don't even know that.
Yeah, we don't even know
at
that
all.
For sure.
No.
Yeah, because they're also not, you know, they're not even, we're not hearing from them either. Like, hearing from them right now.
No, and I watched a press conference with the chief of police today, and they said, when are you going to release that 911 call? And he's like, oh, probably at trial.
Wow, yeah.
Like, they're not. We're not going to hear that.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah, they ain't fucking around.
But why?
Yeah.
But
because there were probably five people in there that were walking around in a crime scene not and supposed not to be knowing there. That's what they were doing. And like, I have to wonder, okay, you're one of the roommates from the first floor. You go to the second floor. It's rumored, it's not confirmed, that Xana and Ethan were on the second floor. Kaylee and Madison were on the third floor. That's the general consensus. Again, that's not from the cops. Right. I imagine that if you went upstairs and you heard nothing at all, and perhaps you knocked on the door, let's say the door shut, you don't know. And you knock on the door and you can't get a response, and perhaps there is blood or you sense something is wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
You might say, I'm in the house and their car's outside and no one is answering and I don't know what to do. And can you come over because I'm freaked out. We're here by ourselves and it seems like it's eerily quiet.
Here's another thing. Sorry, go ahead.
No. It's just, I imagine you come up the stairs and you see a brutal murder, and that's what you think is when someone calls 911. But it can't be like that. There's got to be some other set of circumstances.
Right. So say one of the two or both surviving roommates come upon any of the other deceased roommates on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. However it happens, if they do, if they call friends first and then they do, if they see them, then call the friends, if they whatever. That's one part. There are still two other roommates in the home that they could therefore would essentially assume all are also at home.
Mm-hmm. And yes, their cars are in the driveway.
They're not calling for help from the other two roommates that they live with to help with the scene that they just came upon.
Right.
Nobody checked on them until the police got there, right? And the police found them on the third floor deceased.
Yes, something made
clear. Well, we don't know if they didn't call Kaylee and Maddie.
Right, but they did not go up to the third floor.
No, they did. As far as we know, the cops are saying that they found second floor and third floor victims. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's so hard to understand.
It is.
It's so complicated. Like the first time I heard this story, I'm like, what?
Even if you take into the fact their age, the circumstances are obviously wild and insane and nothing that people normally have to deal with. Plus they're likely either hungover, tired, possibly still intoxicated in some respect, maybe, or they could be sober because they slept it off and then they're fine. None of that it doesn't make sense.
It seems very specifically worded by the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seems
why is
very,
that?
It's like they're trying, it's why like they're is trying that? To be really, really careful. It's like they're trying to be super, super careful about something.
But I'm wondering, are they trying to protect people or are they trying to solely hold their cards close to the vest to get more information, hopefully, from
outside sources, right?
You know, but it's weird.
It is. It's weird. And it only gets weirder.
Not stabbed, not bloody, no mention of what the coroner is going to go on to call a quote horrific crime.
Right. Yeah. That's what I don't understand. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Where is any description?
Any sign of anything?
Yeah.
And there's also some contention that you don't know. You don't know if somebody invited somebody over.
Right.
At some point. Yeah. And if they did, how many times have you been in college and woken up in the morning and seen someone there who wasn't there when you went to sleep?
Yeah.
And they're passed out.
On the couch.
On the couch. Yeah. Or whatever. You know
and
what I mean?
Going to get
breakfast
and you're like,
person.
I don't know
or
who
you
are.
Or you've been that person. Yeah, I don't know who you are. It's just the possibility of all these other people in the mix could mean that 911 call is not about one of our victims.
Right.
And that's just crazy.
True.
What
are the odds?
I know.
Right.
And then the police get there and the majority of the house is brutally murdered.
Brutally murdered.
And then, they just find four freaking stab victims.
Is your first gut reaction, say you are the person at the, you're the 19 or however old you're a college person. You stumble upon someone passed out in your apartment, that maybe one of your roommates brought back from the bar or whatever. You're going to immediately call 911 and not try to get help from anybody else in the house?
Well, they called their friends.
I know. No, but
someone is passed
nobody,
out and not waking up. It's
weird. It's weird.
And then if they do stumble upon any of the deceased, they don't know if a person who committed this heinous act is still inside
The house. Yes.
Right. They don't know.
And just the police saying that they came upon all of the victims is just
I don't know.
Then why or how is 911 involved? I don't know.
We've never dealt with that.
No. And the police have not released the call. They haven't released the identity of the caller.
They haven't released shit.
They won't tell you who was in the house at the time when the call was made because there were multiple people. That's what they say. They won't tell you who.
They haven't released any of the phone text messages calls from previously that night.
Nope.
None. That have nothing to do with that particular time. I know we can't always know everything that the cops know,
but I would enjoy
knowing the things and holding the evidence for all the things. And then we'll be fine. Everything will be fine. We'll figure it out.
So autopsies were conducted for all four of these victims on November 17th by the Lada County coroner. And they confirmed the identities of all the victims that we listed in the beginning. And they stated their cause and manner of death as homicide by stabbing. The coroner goes on to say the four victims were likely asleep. Now, some people have said that means they were all in their beds. I don't know. Likely asleep, coroner said some had defensive wounds and each was stabbed multiple times. Also, there was no sign of sexual assault. Obviously, no sign of sexual assault means very little to me, Quinnies. I'm not suggesting that they were sexually assaulted.
Done that.
But how many cases have we seen where a rape victim comes forward and they're examined and they say, well, there's no sign of sexual assault. So
this is my other thing.
Or it's Kanika Jenkins and they just take a look and they're like, eh, no sign.
Yep.
Exactly. How do they not, I guess, okay. Oh. It's what we keep saying. Obviously, it's because it's a matter of what they're releasing and what they're not releasing and what we don't know and what we do know. Mm-hmm. But the other problem is, too, I find it really hard to believe that four fucking people got brutally fucking savagely stabbed, okay? And that this person that stabbed them did not somehow get injured in the process. So you mean to tell me that if they had some defensive wounds, that you're going to tell me that you don't have some DNA on these kids?
They have never said that they don't have DNA.
But it's just so frustrating to me.
Just like we said, at this time in the investigation, detectives do not believe that the following are involved in this crime. The two surviving roommates, the male in the grub truck surveillance video, the private party driver who took Kaylee and Madison home on the 13th. The male Kaylee and Madison called numerous times during the early morning hours of November 13th, who we believe to be Jack, Kaylee's ex-boyfriend.
Right.
Any individual who was at the residence when 911 was called, or the individual on the lease who moved out of the residence before the school year started and was not present at the time of the incident. So all of those people, the police do not believe had anything to do with this. Then who did?
For now. Yeah.
So there's a lot of speculation also about Kaylee having a stalker.
Yeah, her dad says he doesn't think so, though. He said a lot of people did think that she was very beautiful that he knew that some people had crushes on her.
And the police been unable to confirm or deny the identity of a stalker or that one exists. Mm-hmm. But if you know anything, police are still encouraging the public to say something if they know something. And all of the tip information, everything like that, will be in the show notes for this episode. Cool. Currently, no suspects in custody and no weapon has been located. Local businesses were contacted to determine if a fixed blade knife had recently been purchased. Now, we have a local business owner who came forward to local media and said the police asked him specifically if he had sold a K-bar knife. Now, the K-bar knife...
Yeah, from the United States Marine Corps.
Like, that is no joke of a knife.
It immediately makes me think of the Gainesville Ripper, which is extremely scary. Nick from True Crime Garage makes another just brilliant assessment here, where he's like, I'm not really a knife guy, but I'm a 40-year-old man and guys my age don't buy that knife.
Yeah.
Which is really pretty astute.
On point. Yes, on point.
Yeah. It is kind of a showier, younger man's knife in some ways.
But not a knife that people are just going to have lying around.
No.
No, they buy it for a purpose.
Mm-hmm. And it looks intense. It's got the leather
sheath. It does.
And it's a whole thing. Now, the police have said, we have no murder weapon and we were just looking for a fixed blade knife. But this guy says, they asked me specifically about a K-bar. On the night of the incident, officers located a dog at the residence.
The dog. Well, let's get into the dog. The dog.
Dog was unharmed, turned over to animal services and later released to a responsible party. It has been speculated online that it was actually Jack who received the dog. Yeah, there's just a dog there.
First of all,
the dog probably saw the whole thing.
Definitely. But we don't know type of dog, age, name, where, caged, a lot like awake. Do they bark? Are they a silent type of dog?
Right.
Were they on a different floor altogether? Were they in one of the rooms? No, nothing.
No idea.
We know nothing. How dare you keep this information from me? I need the dog.
It's such a wrinkle in this.
It is.
Because a lot of people reported
a barking dog like going nutso.
No. And a lot of people are like, well, it's just the dog must have known the person. And I'm I don't think that's it either.
No, like, it's probably scared to fucking death of fucking Rambo man coming in the
right
shit with a fucking military knife. Fucking also, you don't know people.
That they didn't, that the first of all, that the dog could have been in a cage somewhere.
Yeah, could have been
unaware.
Created.
Mm-hmm. Right. Could have been crated. Could have been in a crate, and then the suspect moved the dog or in the crate been, to a right. closet or something.
Or yeah, we who don't... knows if it wasn't in one of the surviving roommates' room exactly. and just didn't, you know, had wasn't no idea. Around the house. Yeah.
We don't know that the dog wasn't given, like, you know, like in the movies, given a steak to go chew over there. And
honestly, not and it's crazy care in the world. That they don't, that the dog is completely unharmed. It's just another wrinkle. Detectives did seize the contents of 3 dumpsters on King Road to locate possible evidence. So we know they're checking local dumpsters, which is more than we can say for a lot of police departments. So good job
that
there.
Is sad. so sad.
It is sad. And then the governor of Idaho, he has directed $1 million in state emergency funds to this investigation. We have Idaho State Police involved. We have the FBI involved. Detectives have collected over 17,000 tips in this case.
Crazy.
The amount of information that they are having to process right now. Yeah. They took 113 pieces of physical evidence, as they described them, from the scene. And then they said they took approximately 4,000 crime scene photographs. And I just immediately thought of my Trace Richardson. And I'm like, oh, because they took 6 of her, remember?
6 total. Yep.
Yeah.
And so. They took 4,000 here. So, and 4, I understand 000. It was 4 victims, but just again.
If it was 4 Black people, would we have the same coverage on this case?
Not no. at all.
No.
Any
no.
person of color. No.
No. And the fact that it's mostly women. There's a huge, you know, this is.
It doesn't
is
make it.
Fucking
like
investigation
any...
discovery
this
level.
Is just make it like Gainesville tragic. When the one guy was there.
It reminds
wrong
me
place,
a lot.
Wrong place, yep. wrong time. It's yeah. one of so
Manny,
much like that.
Manny.
Yeah. Manny. Manny.
Just happened to be in the home.
That's what it
at
is.
At the
too.
Time. And just, yeah, it's so sad. And the detectives have taken the victim's vehicles as well.
Yeah.
To process, because obviously they were there. They were in the driveway. Speaking of cars, detectives yeah. are interested in speaking with the occupant or occupants of a white 2011 to 2013 Hyundai Elantra, unknown license plate. Tips and leads have led investigators to look for additional information about this vehicle being in the immediate area of the King Road residence in the early morning hours of November 13th. So this is the time of the murder where this car is supposedly there. The investigators believe that this person may have critical information to share with respect to the case. If you know anything about this car, check out our show notes, and I'm going to give all the tip line information at the end.
Do you have that they found a car?
They found one in Eugene, Oregon. It belonged to a woman, and she's been completely cleared.
Oh, they found out that it was a woman that the car belonged to?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was registered in Colorado. It's not the one. They found one, but it's not the one. I know, it sucks. Okay, well, on to the other 22,000 that are registered in this country. Yeah so information Literally. About the car will be in the show notes. And if you go to ci.moscow.id.us, they have stock images of
yes,
the car similar to what the police are seeking. The police are, this is a small town. There has not been a homicide in Moscow, Idaho in 7 years. And
not one.
Not one.
Not one.
The police have walked back several statements that they made in the beginning. They said that there was no imminent threat to the community. And then 3 days after that, they say, well, we can't guarantee there's no threat to the community.
And meanwhile, they're still having, the school's still open. Like, they had classes online, but the school is still going on. Mm-hmm. Like, who is about to take a test after this happens? Like, who?
I know. I wonder how many kids will come back after break.
Yeah, just like Gainesville.
And the police say the attacks were targeted, but then they didn't elaborate. And then in the press release from last week, they say the attack was targeted, but they don't know if the victims or the house itself was targeted.
Yeah, which makes no sense.
So what does that give me? Nothing.
What does that mean? And then the mayor comes out the day after the murders and says this was a crime of passion.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then later on, he says, well, I don't really know that for sure. And
so maybe you should check him out.
A crime of passion is like, in the legal sense, is like seeing something so upsetting that you do, like, you do something that you would not normally do. So right. Like, classic example of crime of passion is like, you come home and your significant other is in bed with your best friend. Mm-hmm. And you snap like Chicago, and
you black out. Yeah, exactly.
Chicago style. Yeah.
So like, how does that lead to a quadruple murder though?
Exactly.
So that's the end of the information from the police, Quinnies. So we're going to have to start our speculation here. What do we think could possibly have happened? I do think that it is really important that we bring up the Gainesville Ripper and we bring up Ted Bundy. I don't like to think that this is a serial killer for obvious reasons.
Who would?
The Gainesville Ripper was obviously obsessed with Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy killed a group of women inside of a sorority house as part of his murder spree, in addition to dozens of other women. And I will point out that specifically in the FSU murders in the Chi Omega house, there were 30 quote unquote witnesses within earshot of those murders that heard nothing, absolutely nothing. So it's not, and that's in a time when you don't sleep with earbuds in and you don't have your TV on
exactly.
or you don't have your music playing. Like it is possible that this happened and no one heard anything.
Yeah.
It's just, it's scary, we've seen it before. There are just obvious parallels to both Ted Bundy and the Gainesville Ripper. And we did cover the Gainesville Ripper. It's way, 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 way in the beginning of Straight Up Evil. But I'll link that as well so that you Quinnies can just take a look for yourselves. It's a really brutal episode.
Yeah.
But again, he was a knife guy.
And the college students. It was like the young students. And college students. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else?
Universities and shit.
This is also kind of giving me Faith Hedgepeth vibes a little bit too.
Yes.
Even though that was only a single murder. Just coming home after being out and texting a guy, and then
shit goes down.
Yeah.
And we don't know, like, are the doors open? Are the doors unlocked? Do people know how to get in?
Who has a key?
Who has a key?
Is this a regular a college rental, or is this just a normal private rental that the college kids happen to have?
Right.
Like, who's the landlord? Like,
Jeff Kernodle, Zaina's dad, actually, he says that the kids were he believes the kids were targeted, and he actually released information to the media as well as to the police that he actually changed the lock on their door, a 1 week before the murders.
And why
that
then?
Seems weird to me too, Quinnies. That's in my final thoughts as a red flag.
The timing
it's
is
weird.
Too...
It's weird. And I don't want to dive into any conspiracies that it's the parents, that the parents have anything to do with it, because I don't feel that or believe that at all in my gut.
No.
I believe it was Fox that asked Kaylee's dad where he was on the night of the murders. And I was like,
are you kidding me?
Like,
there's no reason to think that they had anything to do with it.
And to ask them for an alibi on camera, I was like,
wow.
Yeah.
Why did they need the lock change then? Not when they moved in. Why was the father the one taking care of it, not the landlord?
And why was
why did they need it to be
only one door and not all the doors? And exactly, like, if that's the other thing that pisses me off too, like, if you're gonna give a detail, because there is no detail too small, like no detail is too small, absolutely, but if you're going to give a detail, I'm not hating on the parents, but like, stop with the vague, like, stop being so vague.
It could mean absolutely nothing.
Right, we don't know.
Exactly. Don't know
exactly, but we don't know. And then there's another thing too I wanted to mention. There was also a police call on the night of the murder, and there is police body cameras of some underage boys drinking alcohol, and they got caught drinking, and they're actually on the body cam in or around the exact area of where the murders occur. And this is a really huge thing the social media is blowing up, because again, it's another idea that is pointing to the fact that everything was quiet. Like, this is supposed to be the exact time that the murders were happening, very close to the house where it was happening. You don't hear any noise in the background. You don't hear music. You don't hear anything. You don't hear anything. You just literally hear these cops and these kids, and that's it. And so that's also mind blowing to me. This was like a night that everybody was going out. People were going drinking. People went to food trucks. Like, obviously, it's a college area, hustle and bustle. Mm-hmm. It is so fucking strange to me. I got the most eerie feeling, Quinnies, when I watched this video. I don't know if you watched it.
Yeah, but they're like in a field.
Yes, they're in a field. And it is literally dead fucking silent.
I can't remember what time that's at.
It's like around 3 something a.m. Like, there's just so many things, Quinnies, that are just, it just doesn't add up. Nothing adds up. It's like you said, something like that. Yes, that's video camera footage that was filmed during the time of, and the murders could have possibly been done, but we don't even actually know that at all. And it could be completely irrelevant. It could have nothing to do with anything. It's weird. All of it's fucking weird, Quinnies. It's weird.
It really is weird. So much emphasis has been placed on Kaylee and Madison and their whereabouts and what they did. And we have so much footage of them and their family. I mean, the Mogans less, the Gonsalves family has been talking quite a bit. Madison's dad has spoken publicly. His name's Ben Mogan, just praises law enforcement, says they call him every single day to update him on things that they're never doing. He has just been like, they have been so kind to me and my family. There's a lot of emphasis on those two girls. Cannot get past the fact that they will not give a whereabouts for Zanna and Ethan.
Yeah,
between 9 p.m. and 1:45.
Yeah,
I don't get
that's
it. Why?
Hugely significant to me.
I think so too. And I think that's why they're hiding it. I think you're exactly right, Quinny. They're not telling us about it because it's probably a huge lead in their case.
Mm-hmm. And truly, like, we don't have anything to say that they don't have their phones.
Right.
So you can just see where they picked up Wi-Fi, what they pinged off of, where they sent texts from. Like, you could just, it's in this day and age, you can find out where somebody was at a given time. It's not difficult to ascertain. It's just not.
Right.
They will not say, and they want people to come forward and confirm. And so that tells me that, you know, half dozen stories about what went on at that party. If you have video, if you have any type of video, any type of recording, pictures, anything, I don't care what you're doing in it, give it to the police. They're not interested in any illegal activity that's going on. They need to corroborate that night and what was going on specifically with the two of them.
I totally agree. Because they could have brought somebody. That's the other thing. We don't know because we don't know anything about them. They could have brought somebody back. Mm-hmm. We don't know if they brought somebody. It's just like we were talking about early.
Yeah.
When you wake up and somebody's on your couch that you don't know. Like,
it's just college. Like, it's so common. Mm-hmm. You really don't think about it. So I really sincerely hope this case is solved and someone is arrested very soon. I keep thinking about Delphi and the fact that they talked to the person who they now have in custody within hours of discovering these bodies, and 5 years later he gets arrested. You know, like, it's just I really hope that doesn't happen here. This is so terrible. These families, Christmas, New Year's, all the holidays,
Thanksgiving
without their kids. Like, it's just
it's awful. Yeah, it's awful.
My heart really goes out to them. Seriously though, Idaho Quinnies, or anywhere Quinnies, if you have any information on this white Hyundai Elantra 2011 to 2013 driving this vehicle the day of the murders, November 13th, or the days preceding. They also say that. So in the week prior, did you see an Elantra around? Do you know who owns it? Do you have a license plate? Do you have surveillance? Do you have a camera on your front door that might be able to assist the police? Any information whatsoever, contact the tip line. You can call 208-883-7180. You can email tipline@ci.mosco.id.us. And if you have any video, you can give that directly to the FBI, who is the one who is combing all of these tips, by the way. FBI.gov/Moscow, Idaho.
Yep. The fact that, like, you know that scene was completely messed with, it, whether by intentionally or not.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
So who knows what they can even take from that. Quinny's, I don't know. I think, are we ready for final thoughts? Because I just have okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, like, I will never stop wondering about that dog.
I know. I need
information about the dog. And where the dog was and the state of the dog. Like, I need that. I truly think it was targeted for them specifically, not the house. The weird three-level house, like, it must have been someone who had been there before at least once or twice.
Yeah.
To be able to know who is where and what goes where and the dog and the whatever, for two survivors to not be able to hear anything. Like, there's no way they never had looked at that house before, gone in that house before.
Yeah, because it's so weirdly laid out.
It's right. So, like, you know, they have got to have at least been there once. They must know them in some capacity. I feel like they probably know them in some capacity, again, to have been in the house, not like a random utility worker or whoever, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it could be very well just like Gainesville. It could be just a random serial killer schmuck that has no connection.
Right, which is so scary.
It's so scary. But I really think it's someone that knew them in some capacity. And I think that they bought that knife for this purpose. 1,000,000%.
I mean, we have a lot of angry people.
I don't know what their motive could possibly be. Even if the stalker lead is a thing, why kill everybody else?
Why kill everybody else? And if you but have not a house the two? Full of women. Exactly. And I do think you're right. I think that they were expecting it to be a house full of women. And the male just happened to be there. Ethan just happened to be there.
It's just even weirder that there are two survivors then.
There might, exactly.
You know?
I think that they missed the two. I'm getting the feeling that they missed the two survivors. I feel like they got lucky. I feel like.
Can you imagine?
Oh, and that's the other thing.
I know.
I completely agree with you, Quinny. I think that it was targeted, but I think that it was targeted to Kaylee specifically. I think that it's really, really significant that she was injured worse.
Do you think she was?
We don't know for sure because we don't really know the state of the rest.
But it do you think she, but Quinny, like, your honest opinion, like, do you think she was, does you get the vibe that she was?
I don't know, because now that I think about it, it is like, I just heard it from media. So it's like, I can't even really believe it because it doesn't make it accurate.
I mean, her dad said that.
Right.
Her
and dad so I just said. Like, want to believe him.
Yeah.
But does he know really so the state of the rest either? Right.
I just get this vibe that like, I'm getting this vibe, maybe not even necessarily that it was just targeted at Kaylee, but I don't think that the killer intended to kill all four of them. I think that the intention was to kill one or two of them, and two of the others just happened to kind of get in the way. Here's a couple other things that I think are fucking really significant.
But for them to be found on two different floors,
I know it's
not so even weird. In the same room. You have to be so strong and passionate or whatever, but you needed to stab to death multiple times four grown adults.
Yep. That's the other thing. Oh my God. I'm getting so fucking hyped
and
right now.
And I do think it was one person. I don't think there were multiple people involved.
I think it was one person. I think they were young. I think it was a young person, probably in college with these kids or around that same age if he wasn't at the same college. I also think that this kid has a military background. I think that this kid has, if they don't have an actual military training, that they have a family member or someone who is military. This is like military. Terry type shit going into a fucking house and just outing four people who ninja style,
or they're just a wannabe piece of shit.
Exactly.
Like Danny
I'm like,
Rowland,
or they have like ideation
who,
of
who
being
thinks that they're a military person, but actually
like Rudolph?
Isn't capable of doing like any Eric shit Rudolph? Ever.
Exactly.
And is just a fucking poser. That's like I'm Rambo and I'm gonna do something because I'm a piece of shit.
Totally. They'd seen a knife like that before. They knew what it could handle, thought it was awesome. Went ahead.
Let's see what I can do with this. Yeah. So the other thing I think is significant is the car. I think the white car being around, driving around at that time is weird.
We haven't figured out who that belongs to is not.
But it's a common car.
Yeah.
It is. It is. But it's weird. I think that
it is weird.
Someone that was in that car, they either saw something, they know something. I don't even necessarily think they
it's
could
Missy
possibly
Beavers. Like you should be able to rule out that person.
Exactly.
Unless they are involved.
Yes.
Exactly.
Because I ain't concerned about Jack. I think Jack's harmless in all of this.
Those phone records.
Any phone situation
of any kind.
The 911 call. Seriously.
It's got to be so significant. There's got to be so much information on that call for them not to put it out there.
Yeah.
It's got to be a huge cornerstone of this case. Yeah, Quinns. I don't like how much we covered the Gainesville Ripper 3 years ago, and I'm not over it. I still think of it all the time. We're not going to cover Ted Bundy, but you know, I don't like how many things are similar to it. I don't like it.
I know.
It almost reminds me of like a copycat.
Because Gainesville was a Bundy copycat.
Oh my God. You know? You mentioned too, like, okay, I'm also just thinking about fucking Eric Rudolph a little bit more too. And just like that obsession with being something, but that you're that you're actually not.
Yeah, like Gainesville trying to be Rambo.
Yeah.
Thinking that he's, you know, but again, and he was sexually assaulting and all the things, you know what I mean? Right. So there are some differences. And Ted too, Ted wanted possession of the bodies and everything. Yeah. So, you know, there are differences there, but I just,
I agree with what you said earlier though, that we don't know 100% for sure that there wasn't a sexual assault.
No, we don't know
100%.
No, we don't. There may be no sign of it, but we don't know. And you're right, Quinny. I do also believe that it was either a college age student or someone who could pass for a college age student, someone that you could see walking down the street that you would not think twice. Why are you there?
Exactly.
Just blended right in.
We will keep the Quinnies updated as things progress.
Yes, we will.
No.
And they're trying so hard to give new updates on it. The media is straining so hard to try to get
they
shit
want to know it.
Yeah. Wow. We have a major update in the Idaho case, Quinnies. Update came in less than 48 hours after we recorded our initial coverage of the Idaho quadruple murders. So we'll put this right at the end of the episode. On Friday, December 30th, last Friday.
Best day ever.
Brian Christopher Koberger was arrested at his parents' home in Pennsylvania and charged with 4 counts of murder in the deaths of Ethan Chapin, Zana Kernodal, Madison Mogan, and Kaylee Gonsalves. It is said by sources for NBC News, ABC News, and CNN that Koberger's DNA matched DNA found at the crime scene. So authorities, obviously, they're going to remain tight-lipped until Koberger actually gets back to Idaho. He did waive his right to extradition yesterday, and he will be in Idaho soon. And when he is, the probable cause affidavit will be released to the public, and we will get some answers about what law enforcement thinks happened.
Yeah, my little law, Quinny, what is that? I was wondering what that means, actually. He waived his extradition to Idaho. What does that mean?
He was in Pennsylvania when he was arrested, but the crime that he committed was in Idaho. It is within his right to fight extradition, to be taken out of the state and forcibly transported by the government to another state. So you can fight extradition. You can say, I want a hearing, and you can drag the process out. And it's very uncommon for a judge to actually stop someone from being extradited to go answer for their crimes in another state.
Right.
But technically, under the law, you can, and some people just use it to buy time. Or just to fuck with people, to be honest.
Yeah. I was going to say, is it mostly just like a strategy to procrastinate? But also, is it like, I don't want to go to XYZ state because they have the death penalty and here where I am doesn't, or whatever.
So you can say that's part of the extradition, is that I live in Pennsylvania, I whatever, but really the judge is going to say, well,
should have thought about that before
you committed a crime in the jurisdiction, and you're accused of a crime in the jurisdiction, and you're going to have to be subject to those laws. So ignorance of the law doesn't matter.
Not an excuse.
So he could have done that. He did not. And he just said, sure, I'll go and I'll answer for these charges. And he does maintain his innocence. His attorney says the same thing. What do we know about Brian Koberger? He recently finished his first semester as a PhD student in the criminology program at Washington State in Pullman, Washington. This town, 15 minutes from Moscow, but notably, it's right over the state line. Okay. He recently drove across country with his father to return home for the holidays, and he made the trip in a white Elantra.
Quinnies. A dirty white, a dirty ass.
Very dirty.
Did you see? Yes. Okay. That was a red flag to me too. Like his face, as soon as the camera gets up to the car, the grill, like his mean grill that he's got going on.
Yep.
Oh, or just his face.
Just his face in general. Yeah.
There is body cam footage. Yep. That Katie's talking about. He, both him and his father together in the white Elantra were stopped 2 times, both in the state of Indiana. One definitely for a speeding violation. I'm not so sure about the second one, but there's a lot of speculation that the FBI had something to do with these stops to make sure that he was on his way from A to B. Like, and what are the odds
otherwise, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
But what seems weird
to me is that his dad was like, oh, it was a totally normal car ride. Like
his family is completely on his side, shocked. There's a bunch of people on Reddit right now that are coming out of the woodwork that went to high school with him, that went to middle school with him, that were in community college with him, undergrad with him, his graduate program. They're all like, his family is lovely. So it just seems like they are taken aback and trying to be supportive.
That's so crazy. True Crime Garage brought up is like, well, which came first? Is it they got him because of the car, or they got him because of the DNA?
And the DNA.
The other one came as the package deal.
After, you know what I mean? Right.
Yeah. Right. Oh, and we'll probably learn that in the probable cause affidavit, which I cannot wait to read. When he was arrested, the police took possession of a white Elantra.
So creepy.
It's reported that what he said when he was arrested was, "Have you arrested anyone else? Has anyone else been arrested?"
Weird.
Kind of a weird thing to say.
Yeah,
we don't really know what that means. We probably will once we see what his defense is. There's a lot out there right now about who Brian Koberger was, and I don't really know if I believe 95% of it, because hindsight in these things, you know what I mean? Like, everything looks different once you know that he's a suspect in a quadruple murder. But there are rumors of him being a straight creep to waitresses, which is a massive red flag for me.
Yeah.
And just doing stuff that is
consistently creepy. Like, he's
consistently creepy.
And it makes sense if the girls, it makes sense if the girls were his target, if the two best friend blondes were his target.
Kaylee and also, Madison. Yeah.
Correct. It also matches and fits in with the fact that when we talked about in the episode, how we think maybe the couple could have possibly just been like, they weren't necessarily targeted. They just happened to be there and also get killed.
Mm-hmm.
That ties in. If he does have an issue with women, it very much points more towards like they were the most likely the targets, and that the couple were, you know, just happened to be there and happened to also get killed.
And Zanna and Maddie worked at the Mad Greek in Moscow, Idaho. They were both waitresses there. And that restaurant is not a vegan restaurant. It's rumored that Brian Koberger is vegan. That's not a vegan restaurant specifically, but they have a ton of vegan and vegetarian options. So it would be a totally viable place for him to visit. Could have been a way for him to meet some of the victims, a couple of the victims. As of right now, law enforcement has said nothing about motive, any relationship to the victims. They're not giving us anything.
I'm just happy we have his name. I don't even care at this rate. I just,
there's somebody. Yes, because, you know, we just covered the probable cause affidavit in Delphi, and that was 5.5 years ago, you know? So it's nice that this was quick. This is 6 weeks. You know, so really unbelievable job by all of the state police, the Moscow police, the FBI, just amazing effort that went into this. Obviously, we'll continue to follow this as it develops, but that's our little update. Quinnies, any thoughts?
Something ain't clean. Thank you.
Quinnies.
Listen to Straight Up Evil.